And welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Hagman Report. It is Monday, the 21st day of March 2016. We are just fresh off of the Hear the Watchman conference. Where were we? Dallas. Dallas, Texas is where we were. Folks, I would be, before we continue with our program.
Grapevine, Texas. Yeah, right in Dallas.
Grapevine, area. Yes. We find a great website for all of our snacking needs, whether it's nuts, dried fruit, chocolate and sweets, snacks, coffee and tea, cooking and baking items, gifts for us, your boss, whatever, your loved ones, nuts.com. What a great website, and what a great way to tell someone that you care, or what a great way just to increase your own supply of healthy nutritional snacks. Now here's the deal, folks. Go to nuts.com. And in the radio box, just enter HH. That's for Hagman and Hagman. And our listeners, here's what nuts.com did for us. Our listeners can take advantage of this very extra special offer. And when you do that, when you put in HH, it'll take you to a landing page where it says, "Hello there, Hagman and Hagman listener. Choose your 4 free gifts on this page. Add $25 worth of other goodies to your cart. Place your order. These 2 to 3 ounce packs will tickle your taste buds." Indeed, they will. You get to choose 4 free gifts. I mean, it's a great value. And I've got to say, things that you may never have thought of, like crystallized ginger. Things that are really good for you. Organic trail mix. One thing that I really am really excited about is the dried strawberries, as well. And other such snacks. Folks, if you have dietary restrictions, you can, they take into account, I mean, you can order, they tell you, for example, whatever your diet restrictions are, they will handle whatever your needs are. It's nuts.com. And again, for our listeners, in the microphone box, put HH in there. And you can choose your 4 free gifts. Add $25 worth of other goodies. So, you make a purchase and you get 4 free gifts. And it's worth, it's over $15, I believe. I mean, just from my experience in checking this, it's a $15 value. You can't go wrong at nuts.com, microphone code 8HH. And I do remember this. This is so important to me because I like companies where I can speak to the people in charge. And nuts.com is one of those. I spoke with the head nut there, and I kid about that. But the CEO of this third generation company, family owned. His name is Jeff, and he's just such a great guy. And he was, and I got him out of quality control testing, but he took a moment to talk with me about his company, about how very on top of quality control they are, non-GMO type things. It's just the best you can get. I am a firm believer, and folks, everything that we talk about on this program, we are customers. We try it first before it even gets to the air. And that's nuts.com, microphone code HH, nuts.com. But hurry, take advantage of this offer, please. Take advantage of this offer. You 4 free gifts after, with your $25 order, and just go wild. Go wild. And again, and tell me how you like the dried strawberries, if you like those, or the berry mix. Oh, what a great mix that is. It's just great. Nuts.com, microphone code HH. We want to thank them for sponsoring portions of this broadcast and say thank you. Folks, try them out. Give them a try, and I guarantee you will be repeat customers. That's nuts.com, microphone code HH. Now, I want to thank everyone who's listening live on YouTube and also Global Star Radio Network. And during the break, I know this went out over the air. We know that we have an open mic. It's no secret. I just want to say thank you to Global Star. We missed Global Star. We missed doing our program during the week we were gone. But you know what? We had, and what we're trying to do is trying to, we took our equipment with us, and we attempted to do, and this is behind the scenes stuff, we attempted to do live streaming from where we were at, okay? Well, we don't have the proper equipment to do that. It's just that simple. And you're looking really to do that. And you think, well, wait a minute, you could take an iPhone or whatever those things are and you could do it. That's true. But to sync, S-Y-N-C, sync all of the platforms in which we broadcast, we're looking to invest in roughly $20,000 more of equipment to do these things.
Soon we'll have the ability. Yes. We're having a custom piece of equipment built that is not cheap, that is in the works right now, and it's being designed by Eric the Tech in order to bring video from the guests who appear on our show.
That's right.
And for some reason you think it'd be easier. There'd be easier ways to do this, but with your support, through your support, and through the blessings we received, and through the not only financial blessings but the prayers, and especially Eric and JD and their dedication and visions for how to better grow this show and reach as many people as possible and improve it in every way that they can. I mean, they are on top. On the ball on this, and without those two guys, we could not. We wouldn't have the studio. We wouldn't, reaching out to the people we are now.
And I believe, Joe, are the big voice in the wilderness out there is Global Star Radio Network. I really believe that, and I believe with all of my heart that the marriage of our program. And as long as Global Star will have us on their network, I truly, and I believe this, as we enter into these rough times and trouble is ahead, it's directly ahead, folks. But fear not, because we have God. And 5 years ago, I would have kind of chuckled and said, yeah, I know that. But now I truly believe, after looking in the eyes of people at the conference, after talking with the people, after each and every one of you, and we had a couple of opportunities where we missed so many. I missed so many because we were so busy. But I spoke with. In fact, I had a conversation with a gentleman in the lobby of the hotel. It was about 4:30 in the morning. I'm not sure. Was it this morning or yesterday?
I think it was yesterday.
And folks, people are hungry for the truth. They want the truth. They want to know what's coming, but they also want the solutions. And this is how we are going to proceed. But I believe that getting back to my point, I believe that the single voice in the wilderness will be at the epicenter of all this, Global Star Radio Network, because I truly believe that. I mean, you've got Russ Dizdar and Dave Hodges and other programs on Global Star.
Ted Brewer,
thank you. Yes.
And I heard, I don't know if you heard this kind of off, Larry Nichols was doing a program here. I heard he was rushed to the hospital last week, I believe.
With him.
Yeah. And folks, keep Greg Evenson's family in your prayers as well. We received some heartbreaking news as Greg Evenson's wife.
She's
okay.
She's okay.
But she had a heart attack.
Yes.
This weekend or this last couple of days. And all of Greg's health issues that he's been going through, from having his toes removed to, being basically bedridden and
Greg and Liz Evenson, two of the most gracious people of integrity you'd ever want to meet and talk to. Liz Evenson, and I think it's okay for me to say that they did put a stent in, one of her arteries, but she's going to be fine. I don't believe there was much damage to her heart. But, it throws the family into chaos, right?
Yeah, I couldn't believe when I heard that. Because we were talking about Greg with Pastor Langford the day before that.
Yes.
And he's just like us. He doesn't want to call and bother them. And we know if something important is happening, they will, reach out to Steve or someone and give us updates, but the next day to hear that news. And Sheila Zelinsky, also keep her in your prayers, because while she was at the conference, her father suffered a minor heart attack as well, and he's doing okay. Last time I talked with Sheila, but
and her mother's on life support.
She's been taking care of her mother, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that many of us don't know about or are just learning about. And somebody quoted in the YouTube chat room earlier about how the spiritual attacks are ramping up, the spiritual oppression is ramping up and intensifying. And I would, you know, definitely agree, because it's not only affecting the people we have on our show, but many of the listeners in their walk with the Lord have come up against fierce opposition from the enemy.
And this will open up the second hour, because you need to know what's going on behind the scenes a little bit. All right. And also, Steve Quayle, keep him in your prayers. He's really sick.
Okay? Yeah, he has a very serious congestion issues. And I didn't know last time he had this bad of bronchitis or pneumonia or whatever's going on with him, that he cracked a rib from coughing.
Yes.
And he's either was supposed to be on Jim Baker's show this or go out there and do an episode with Tom Horn. Either it was last Tuesday or this Tuesday, but
Yeah, I mean, he's down, and no, I have not talked with him since we've been back. In fact, I haven't talked with him at all. This came from Pastor Langford, who did speak with him, and I'm not going to bother him. You know, I'll send him a note, but yeah, Joe, I mean, but you're right. I do believe these attacks are spiritual in nature. And speaking of that, let me give you some behind the scenes information. And I don't know how many people in the chat room were at the conference. I don't even know how to do this. If you were, I have on one of the monitors here, the chat room.
Yeah, we both have it up.
Okay, all right, there we go. So if you were at the conference, just put in, I don't know, what, hi, or something, or let us know, was there. Let us know if you were there. Here's why. You know, that this conference was there were attacks made on this conference from the beginning. You know that there were people trying to make this conference not go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So I see a couple of people like, hi, okay, in the chat room saying that they were there. Now, Phil, thank you. Wings for Widow. Okay.
Quite a few were in there. So far, I see that.
Okay. Did you see the police presence out there? Do you know why they were there? I don't know. That's right. They did fail. I want to publicly thank. And I know one individual is listening. I want to publicly thank the Grapevine, Texas Police Department.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job.
I want to thank the Sheriff's Department. Because...
And the FBI.
Well, yes, the FBI. We had a situation.
And the U.S. Marshals.
And the U.S. Marshals. We had every agency, I think, there. In fact, and many of you may not know this, but I think it was Saturday night. A federal marshal came in and had to take someone out. All right, here's the situation. You know all of the gunk and gory stuff running up to the conference, right? All the, you know, oh, people. There was an attempt not to shut it down. Number one. And number two, I mean, you have no, folks, you've got no clue. Those people and I'm not going to get angry or anything like that. I'm just going to state facts. You know how there was some disagreements, that kind of, I don't know, that were just blown out of proportion. Well, that's kind of how things started. But here's what happened that you don't know about. Now, I don't have Mike's permission or Jeannie's permission to talk about this, but I think I can say a little bit. I intend to have them both on. Or we do. I shouldn't say I. We do.
Yeah, because there's some stuff in the pipeline coming down.
Yes.
That we'll talk about later.
I don't like drama. Okay. I just really don't like drama. It's distasteful. It's unbecoming. It's uncivilized. I just don't like drama. But anyway, right before the conference, there was an individual who has been on our show.
Once, I believe.
Maybe once, I don't know. Who called up the Grapevine Police Department and said, he said there was a very specific threat, a credible threat to the speakers of the conference. Now, there's a reason why I'm telling you this, okay? Not for disparaging anyone in particular, but I just to give you an idea of the battle that we're facing. Joe and I had arrived at in Dallas on Monday night, late Monday night, or with our families, and we had meetings on Tuesday outside of the conference, independent of the conference, and Wednesday. The Thursday night, we had meetings for the conference. Well, during this time, there was the Grapevine Police were notified by a person saying that there's going to be an event to take place at the conference. Against the speakers, not the people, but against the speakers. It was kind of a nebulous threat. It was non-specific. Well, it was kind of specific, but it wasn't 100% specific. So the Grapevine Police had to respond. So what they did was they erected a surveillance tower outside of the hotel.
Now this thing, probably what, 25 feet up in the air, 30
right.
feet up in the air.
Right.
It was a tinted out glass box.
And there were cameras inside.
Yeah. And Eric texted, there was a sniper up in there, but obviously there wasn't enough room. But yeah, they had brought in the sheriff's tower for the surveillance. Now that on top of the Grapevine Police for Saturday and Sunday, as well as the incident on Saturday where the marshals came and took somebody out of there.
That's a whole other story.
Around that were very odd. Man paid with cash, gave a fake name, no ID, didn't want to show anybody what was in his book bag. And this was on Friday night. And the one thing that I noticed is that he looked like he was very upset and angry, had a very angry face. And when Russ was speaking, didn't clap once, didn't smile once. But the...
And
somehow
the Grapevine, the police officer had him under surveillance, had his hand on his gun.
Yeah. Staring daggers 10 feet away, you know, from this guy.
Right.
And doing their job.
And Chance, I got to tell you, Chance was there, on guard, on point. The police were there, on this man. And, he did not pose, I can say this with authority, he did not pose a threat to anyone in the
right.
in the audience. It was at the speakers, against the speakers. He was taken out. He almost was taken down.
Like literally taken out of the building, not taken out as in.
Right, yes.
Yeah,
I probably should be a little bit more. Okay. So, anyway, the surveillance tower was erected for our protection. It was not against us, but for our protection. And I've got photographs we're going to publish on HagmanReport.com. Well, it gets worse from there, because during the conference, this individual called again and said, I'm not going to tell you what he said, but he did deliver a very, very specific threat with the time, exact time, the exact session at which this was going to take place, and against the very people who were going to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of them. And, you know, I'm going to stop there with respect to naming them, because I don't know if the others want to be named, but I was one of those people. And Mike was the conference organizer. I didn't know this. In fact,
he found out the hard way.
Okay, yeah, and here's what happened on Sunday morning. Now, I'm going to be real careful with what I say here, Joe. Okay, because... Okay, so 9 o'clock, Pastor Langford began his, and it was going to happen during Pastor Langford, this event, this was going to happen during Pastor Langford's session. I'm not even sure Pastor Langford knows about this. So, Joe and I were doing some things, and Joe was getting ready for baptism and all of this after 9 o'clock. Well, as it happened, I went down early in the morning. I think Joe, you and I both did. And the hotel, all the doors on the hotel, except for the main doors, were locked.
Yeah, and we had used a lot of these side exits and back exits to go out, get fresh air here and there, and
talk with people, right?
And I got, actually, even before you knew what was going on, you called me at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning, and you know I was. Pastor Langford didn't start till 9, so that was, I was trying to catch, I got up pretty much between 6 and 7 every day there, but I was, I got a call, and Joe, I'm out at our spot, and I'm locked out. I said, you want me to call the front desk? I'm still getting out of bed. And he said, no, that's all right.
It was really strange, because when you say, you know, at our spot, we had a location outside of the conference area, just outside the conference area. It was a restricted area for speakers, but it was outside where if you didn't want, let's say, I don't know, if you wanted not to talk within the building, and there were some things that were shared that we had that I thought best we'd talk outside. But anyway, here's the bottom line. 10 minutes, and again, a threat was called into the Grapevine Police Department, which earlier Sunday morning.
And that was on top of everything else, right. That were already an issue as the conference was coming up to its date of starting and into the start of the conference. There was already reason that the police had to be there. There was already somebody who had contacted authorities. This security had increased on Sunday to the point where there was, as you said, multi-layers of security, you know, from inside the conference room to outside the conference room to outside the hotel itself.
Actually, the hotel was on lockdown, basically, with the exception of the front door. The hotel was on lockdown.
SUVs surrounding the building.
Right.
I mean, that you could tell the presence of the police outside of the hotel had increased significantly between Saturday and Sunday morning. I mean, triple what it was as for the first 2 days.
So I had, in preparation for certain things, I had to miss a little bit of Pastor Langford's sermon, which began at 9 o'clock. So I was going to be according to my schedule, I was going to arrive there in the main conference area at 9. I think it was at 9:40. I was supposed to be there. Well, the actual threat was before that, several minutes before that. It's a number that I'm not going to give out, but it's a number. The time is a number. Okay, obviously. So I had gone out of the hotel briefly to get something that I needed from our vehicle.
We were doing behind-the-scenes interviews,
right,
not only for the DVD, but interviews you'll see on our YouTube channel and our website, and we were using our camera equipment, and we had tripods that were were taken.
Well, yeah, so I left through a kind of a door that no one knew existed, you know, no one outside of the staff and some of the speakers. So I walked out of the door. I'll just say it was 9:15. I walked out. And, as I was walking out of the building, and I wasn't paying attention to anything really, except I had a notebook and such, I walked down a couple of stairs, and I'm about ready to turn a corner, and man, all of a sudden, I'm not walking forward anymore, I'm walking backwards. Because I got picked up. Well, not really picked up. I got.
He was looking out for your best interest in his mind.
Right. Actually, I ran into a Grapevine Police Department armed, and he said, "Doug, get inside the building." And I thought, "What did I do? Well, what did I do? Because I didn't know anything about this." He said, "You can't be outside. You can't be outside." So I okay, and I mean, he came out of nowhere. He came out of nowhere. You know, I almost, like, you know, had an accident. I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Look, you got to stay inside. Just consider the building on lockdown until further notice." Now, none of the people inside knew this, because the threat was not to the people inside. It was to the speakers. Scared the heck out of me. And I look, I understand. People will say, "Well, faith in God, you shouldn't fear." Well, I get that. But you're human, right? So please don't send me an email saying, "Well, if you have faith in God, then you shouldn't fear." What I'm talking about is a human reaction.
And I was just going to write this in the chat. You know, after Laura, my wife, talked to you in the Sunday morning and found out what was going on, she didn't want me to go up on the speakers panel. She said, "You know, if you're being threatened, I don't want." And I told her, and I did not have one bad feeling about the conference.
Oh, I didn't either.
In my mind, I guess the Lord just put it right in my mind. There would not be any issues, not be any problems. All would be, as I said earlier, all would exceed expectations, and not to worry a bit. And I told her that. I said, "You know, just don't worry. Everything's going to be fine."
Right, and I was
and
see
that's how we handled it.
We have our families there, and I should note this: one of the individuals that was escorted from the property made it a point to take a picture of our families, the speaker's families.
That was weird.
I'm not talking about, you know, "Hey, can you pose for a picture?" And no, I am talking about taking pictures of the wives, the children. All right?
Yeah.
So anyway, bottom line is this. God, I believe this. Nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. And the conference was a resounding success. But here is why I mention all of this. First of all, I beg each and every one of you for your understanding. In the event that somehow we happened to miss each other, you wanted to talk with us and we couldn't, that was one of the reasons. Okay. We were under basically 24/7 protection. If we had to limit our exposure. Okay. And if the people were there, if you noticed, there was people around that hung around that you'd see, you know, you'd think, "Well, the person's kind of just hanging around." Well, that was security, undercover security. Compliments of the police force, and compliments, I shouldn't say compliments, but that also cost the conference organizers a boatload of money to provide extra security.
And the boatload is not exaggeration from what you told me this morning.
All right, so here's why I'm mentioning all of this. The body of Christ, in my view, and you could take me to the woodshed if you want, and Mike, if you're listening, and if you're upset that I mentioned this, I hope you're not. I truly believe the war has already begun, and it's really going hot. The war in terms of Christian versus Christian. The rending of the body. The people have now decided, okay, we're going to take this up some notches. This is not, folks, this is not anywhere near what you think it's about. This is about something so vile and so demonic and so satanic and so heartbreaking at the same time. Because there are wolves in sheep's clothing out there. And there are wolves who are being recognized as leaders in some cases, or as good people. Maybe they're good people. I don't know. All I know is what I experienced, what Joe experienced, what my family, what our families experienced. But see, here's the great thing. The conference was a resounding success. Over 200 baptisms. So many people found God, found, renewed their faith. Children, babies,
altar calls, Coach Dave, and, you know, every time, you know, the people went up and filled the void of the chairs to the podium. And I don't know how many people, you know, were rededicating themselves, or how many people it was their first time who were turning their life over to Jesus. But it was very powerful, and it was in the hundreds every time.
And I am so proud of every... I don't know if pride is the right word. Proud of the speakers. I was so honored to be with the likes of Flip Benham and to talk with him. But even beyond that, because you know what really changed my heart this weekend, is each and every one of you that were there. And even if you weren't there but prayed, I believe you are making the difference. I believe through your prayers, your intercessory prayers are making the difference.
And I want to say this, a special thank you to all the people who volunteered their time to be volunteers, to be helpers there. The conference would not have been able to be what it was without those who took the time to give their time to helping the speakers set up, helping the conference organizers set up, helping people like Chance set up their stations and putting the chairs up and doing all the work. I mean, even Eric the Tech was working all weekend with, you know, the graphics and making the presentations available up on the screen with other volunteers. I mean, this was a collaborative effort of, dedicated to our family out there. I mean, and I say that not just our family our wives and my father and whatnot, but I mean our brothers and sisters in Christ family out there.
That's right. And if the entire reason I shared that story, and Joe and I talked, and he said, "Don't let's not talk about this." And I thought, you know, the only reason I wanted to talk about this is because now, if I sounded like I doubted before about the division within the body of Christ, or if I really didn't understand how divisive or how divided it is and how much worse it's going to get. But you know, so what do we do? What do we do? We don't take part in that divisiveness. I don't believe we can. I believe what we have to do is we have to immerse ourselves in the Word, understand who our Lord and Savior is, understand what our objectives are, understand what we are called to do, and do it without fear. And even in the midst of adversity, or even under threat, because you see, I believe now more than ever before, we talk about the DSA, we talk about DHS, we talk about the FBI, we talk about all of these threats. But one of the biggest threats, I believe, is coming from within the body. And now the remnant will be identified. And if you are part of that remnant, then expect some rocky roads, because each one of you, in some way, shape, or form, at some level, you're going to go through this. It might not be, obviously, it's not going to be identical to what we went through. But I can see where even some of the talk show hosts out there. Now, if you look at that, what I just described, in my view, is a microcosm of what we're seeing with some of the talk show hosts about choosing sides and causing divisiveness, and not only causing it, but exploiting it. being behind it. And Joe, you talked about that story. It, you know, the media is, for example, talking about the protests against Trump. It doesn't matter. It could be against Hillary. It could be against Sanders. It doesn't. To me, it doesn't matter. It's the tactics that are being employed that go beyond protests. It is censorship. It is stopping the message. And that is what's happening within the body. It's attempting to stop the message. And that's why I mentioned all of this. Because now I think what we have to do is we have to be fully girded up, never take the armor of God off, and we have to be really, we have to understand that we're walking into a den of wolves, but
yeah, I mean, we, you know, Jesus said it best. The you know the you are of in the world, not of the world, and they persecuted me without cause. And if you love me, they're going to persecute you, and not only to expect it, to be glad, because you are doing what Jesus called you to do. Your rewards will be great in heaven. Echoing with what Coach Dave said and what Flip said and what Pastor Langford said, that we are to rejoice in the tribulations. We are to rejoice in the attack when men speak all manner of evil against you for his name's sake.
That's right. So my takeaway from all of this, I mean, that really is a footnote. And I don't want to make that incident and in that scenario, I don't want to make that anything more than what it was. And what I believe it was just kind of a tap on the shoulder, God saying, hey guys, you know what? If you want, if you expect to be warriors for me, then expect trouble and even expect it from within. Well beyond what you thought was trouble, now it's going to be exponentially worse. But that extends into the political arena. It extends into the family. And how many people did we talk to that have family divisiveness?
So many.
It's going to get worse. So let's prepare ourselves, and let's not kid ourselves.
One of the questions that was asked of us at the media panel was by a young woman who talked about, and she was saddened at the fact that her family was basically... said she was part of a cult because of her firm belief in Jesus and, you know, following what Scripture says, and asked, you know, how do we deal with this in our walk with the Lord when trying to bring others to the knowledge of the truth. And like I said earlier, Josh Tolley at the speaker roundtable that we had, he was on fire, and it was interesting watching people ask questions. And I was sitting right next to him, and I, you know, could feel a rumble, and he had his legs moving, and he would start moving his arms. And I asked him, I said, Josh, do you gotta get your body working to get your mind going? And he laughed, and he said, yes. I gotta say this. I don't know if Josh, if you're listening, I'm gonna get this message to you either way, but there was a young man I met named Tony who said, because of what he did at the conference and how and the media panel we had, how he was just on fire and right on the money with his answers, that he made a new fan, his name is Tony, for Josh Tolley, and that he was just blown away by the power Josh Tolley had and how ahead of the curve he was intellectually about not only dealing and addressing with the problems we have, but providing the solutions. And his, you know, tagline is reason, logic, reason, and strategy, I believe. I know two out of the three are right, the strategy and reason. But, you know, he was at the media panel. He really, he came out of his shell, so to say.
He was never in a shell.
Right.
But, you know, Josh Tolley is I believe I saw a side of Josh Tolley. Well, yeah. Joe, we both did, right?
Yeah, that I haven't seen before. And I don't know if you heard me.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know about how he moved his legs and move his arms.
Yes,
and I asked him in his ear after one of his great answers, and I said, "Is that how you get your mind working? You know, you got to get your body moving first." And he laughed and he said, "He said, yeah, but no, I don't." He's very smart, and I believe he is really going to be and has been. I mean, his book Evangelpreneur is a great great work, and I believe you're going to be hearing a lot more from him, and he's going to be providing answers to problems that we have not even provided.
And another behind the scenes issue, or not issue, but another behind the scenes little notation: John B. Wells, Caravan to Midnight. Okay, we got an opportunity to spend some time with John, and you know he really we talked about the Bible, we talked about the Christian angle of things and Christianity.
Yeah, to hear his take on
my goodness,
you know, from a biblical perspective.
Yes.
I was so happy to hear him and some of what he said, because he was right on the money. He talked about how his son gave him a Bible and told him to read it, and he asked the audience, you know, how many of you have read the Bible cover to cover? And many raised their hands, and he said, wow, I'm surprised. He said, you know, that's something that he hadn't done that he's starting to do now.
Yes.
But he, Sheila said, preach it, John, because he was preaching. And
make sure John Wells and his son. I just want to stress that another father son team, which is just fantastic.
His son works with him behind the scenes, and he does a great job. And I didn't get too much time to talk to his son. But you know, if he's giving his dad the Bible and making sure that he's staying on top of that, God bless him.
And again, I just one more time just want to thank Rhonda, who's a, really a trooper, because I know that she was up at I don't know, I'm not even sure she went to bed last night, frankly, but she's in the chat and handling the chat room. And I just want to say, Rhonda, thank you so much for your dedication to what we do. And it's just, you know, but back to one last, and this is, I'm not going to mention any more about it because we have so much to get into, but to those people we met at the conference, and to the people that, and it, you might say, well, man, you know, you say you looked in your eyes and saw things. My eyes were slits, okay? So,
by the end of Sunday, I was, I mean, we did an interview with L.A. Marzulli behind the scenes on Sunday, and it was like I was, sorry for my terminology, I don't know how else to word it. It was like I was stoned. My eyes were just glazed over. I had a headache. Just, you know, you're exhausted, and body's exhausted. My mind wasn't exhausted, though. My drive wasn't exhausted, but my body was like, you need to take a break or get a cup of coffee. But,
And
that wasn't from, you know, work. That was from the spiritual experience that me and my wife both shared with the prayers from Pastor Langford and his wife and the baptism. And it was just, like I said, it was a renewal, for us both.
You know, watch folks, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Not necessarily for the numbers, although the numbers do help us, because then we get, as we grow on that, the rankings change, the metrics change, and we become more visible, the word becomes more visible, despite the attempts, you know, to munge the numbers. That's what's taking place right now. For example, we can see the back end on YouTube, and what you see on the front end is nothing like the back end. Meaning to say that the numbers are not even close to being right, like how many people are watching now and that kind of stuff. So anyway, having said all of that, this was a spiritual experience, one of the most, you know, Whitestone was great and will always be in my heart, that Whitestone, nothing will replace that. But I've got to say, what happened this weekend was beyond spiritual. I mean, it was not beyond spiritual, but beyond anything I could describe to each and every one of you. And I just thank you. And I just want to say to everyone, thank you. Thank you. And even if you weren't there, thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you for being with us on the archive. Thank you for being with us. That's all. Because we are going to be, let's hold hands as we go through this rocky time. And it's coming. And I believe that this summer, the consensus among the speakers, behind the scenes this summer, this fall? Joe, I mean, am I wrong on that? I mean, I don't want a date set, but...
What was the first part of that?
The consensus of the speakers.
Yes.
You know, everyone is saying, look, this summer...
Well, we see the intensification of the Christian persecutions in the Middle East. We see the intensification of the anti-Trump protests, the Bernie Sanders, socialism movement. Many people don't understand that Hitler was a socialist himself. It's funny because they're labeling Trump as Hitler, yet they have Bernie Sanders as a candidate who is a self-admitted socialist. And yes, the Nazis were fascist, but the Nazi was the National Socialist Party, and
that's right.
They used that as a way to get in, promising things that they were going to do, and later what they did was the opposite. They brought in a more oppressive, more totalitarian system of fascism, taking over the churches, taking over the entrepreneurial abilities of the citizens in Germany, and then marginalizing, labeling, and mass executing not only Jewish people but Christians and Europeans.
Why aren't Christians talked about, the execution of Christians, as much as, I mean, I understand it was a Jewish Holocaust to be sure. But Joe, why aren't Christians mentioned?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. There's a lot that has been revised throughout history, especially dealing with World War II. And, we're still doing the informational investigations into these and having guests like Peter Lavendo and others who are... even L.A. Marzulli, you asked a few questions about to him behind the scenes on this matter with, Nazis and the serial killers. And,
yes,
there are connections that we have not put together.
Let's toss this one out there. This is important for everyone to know. Okay, I don't know how many people went to the Russ Dizdar's and L.A. Marzulli's conference, the Nephilim Mounds series.
Yeah.
Nephilim Mounds 3, I believe, was the last one. All right, one of the things that Peter Lavenda, through his research, now I don't know if Peter Lavenda is a Christian. We will have people on our show that may not be Christian, but they have information, Christians, but we're working on them. But that said, they have information, very specific research that they conducted. Well, for those of you who were at the Nephilim Mounds conference in Newark, saw the Newark Earthworks. We, and L.A. Marzulli, myself, and Joe talked about this again behind the scenes. We realized that there is a connection between Charles Manson, between the Son of Sam killer, and some other serial killers, and those mounds. Okay? Now think about that for a moment.
Even talking about personal experiences that they've had dealing with people, he gave an example of a woman who became oppressed and possessed from digging fence posts in that area. He explained how the mounds are, and if you've been there, you understand this. It's like a snake biting its tail almost, but it doesn't go all the way around these big trenches. And the space that is left open that you can walk in on either side of these trenches, straight ahead, was 16 or 26 foot altar, and how that. They used to they found human remains in the altar there.
And you know what they did? They covered it up.
Yeah, absolutely. They covered it up. But he talked about an experience his wife even had there at the Nephilim Mounds 2 conference, one we didn't attend.
Yes.
Where she talked about something that she felt coming up out of the ground, that they rebuked and it did go away. But there is something to these mounds and these ancient ritual sites, and it led to a question I asked them. How much of this nation's history before the Christian settlers came here, the Puritans and the Christians from Europe who settled here after the Inquisition, how much of predating that history of people in this nation had been cover up. You know, how much more history is here that we don't know about, and whose history is it? And you know, it's troubling when you really look into it. What was America before it became America? And then who founded America and why? That goes back to Chris Pinto. And folks, you can now find a movie called The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers. I beg you to watch that movie on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube. I would ask that you order it from his site, from Chris Pinto's site, at allthemovies.com.
Abdullam
Films. That's it.
Yeah, we have to get busy and post some links, because you can just search Chris Pinto, Christian Pinto.
The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers.
There you go.
It's a 3-hour movie, and it details the actual faith of the Founding Fathers. And it's going to be troubling to some. I know it is. Because this is something that I've been researching for a few years, the original intent of America behind the name, the symbology. Washington, D.C. is basically a composite rededication of Rome here in America, from the Capitol building to the obelisk to the layout. And why is it that way? These are some of the answers I'm looking to find. And
well,
it started, you know, from
you
a
have
book of
the
George
answers.
Washington.
Yes,
yeah, I do.
There you go. There you go.
It's going to hurt a lot of people to say that, what I'm about to say, but Chris Pinto had done the research, had done the interviews, and has the proof in his faith, Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers. They were Antichrist. And I'll leave that for you guys to do the research and prove me
there
wrong.
There you go. Well, yeah.
Prove Chris wrong.
Yeah, and it's not to say that, well, I mean, look, Franklin was a deist, okay, for example.
Oh, he was one of the worst. He was the member of, he was the head of the Paris Lodge in Paris, France, as well as here in Washington, D.C. Also was a member of the Hellfire Club. You know, yeah. in his home, 200 years later, they had dug up 16 bodies, some children, some male and female, which they say, you know, they had holes drilled in their skulls, and other proof. And that in Thomas Paine, he talked about this when he came on our show.
Boy, Thomas Paine went off the
from
reservation.
From common sense to the age of reason, and how, you know, in on his tombstone it says, without the pen of Thomas Paine, the sword of George Washington would have been wielded in vain. And in a book I have, The Life and Times of Washington, when Washington was heading to the Constitutional Convention with John Adams, it says right in the book, John Adams said, well, let it be known there was giants in the land in those days. Which,
think about that.
And
think
that's
about
just
that.
One obscure quote in this book from the 1800s, The Life and Times of Washington, Volume 1.
And you know, and folks, I just want to say this because, again, I'm very, very proud. What Joe's talking about, this is not thing. I mean, you could probably find this on the internet, but what Joe has done, he's gone the extra step. He's gone and gotten the actual records, archives, books. I'm talking about
some diaries, the Washington diaries, the Founding Fathers' own words.
I mean, copies of the original documents from the archives. So this is not YouTube or this is not internet, you know, stuff. This is all stuff that has been investigated and researched by the standard, by investigative standards.
And back to Thomas Paine. You know, he made sure when he was on his deathbed, Chris Pinto on our show mentioned this, how so many people were trying to come and bring him to repent for what he had said about the gospel, to repent for his stance against Jesus Christ. And he went the extra mile and made sure his friends were there so that it was on record that he did not change his views in the end. We're up against the top of the hour break, folks, on this Monday, March 21st, 2016, back from the Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas. And what a blessing that was, both spiritually and to be able to meet with the fellowship, all you great people. We'll be back for hour number 3 right after this. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.